This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's just me. It's a new. I figured out a new way to clear my throat, but it's horrible to look at and much worse to listen to. So I'm sorry. This is how it's going to be from now on. This is our relationship from here on in.
Goodness.
Okay? Yeah. Did it make you bilious? Is that what you said?
No. Oh. Just more the goodness part of
all
goodness.
Right.
Yes.
Got a special treat for you this morning because it's
Wednesday. Left.
Listen, here's a special treat. Listen to him. Do you recognize this voice?
When Gareth was clearing his voice, Zia got up and left for the juicy parts.
I don't think that's juicy. Not
juicy
really.
You got that was a solid.
Some people have such a disgusting cough. By the way, this is Dave Levinson, everybody.
Yay. Good morning. How are you? Well, when you said it was Wednesday, I was like, oh.
Yeah, I know. The people are used to having you on a Friday, but, you know, we canned your show, so.
No one noticed.
Yes, we
no,
did.
No, people
you know
did.
Who noticed? Mark Zuckerberg.
No, people did.
Because we get those reminders of Facebook. You haven't posted on the Just Now Comedy podcast for quite some time. You're like, gee, Mark, rub it in, buddy.
Yeah, Mark has an odd haircut.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Hey, man, you haven't posted for a while. Well, let me tell you why. Speak to Mr. CF.
That's hilarious. That is so funny. So how are you doing, dude?
Very, I suppose, average, very average.
What do you mean?
I'm not saying that things changed after we were canned.
Are things shit?
Things are quiet, I think, on the
corporate... On the comedy front, generally?
Well, think about... comedians make most of their living from corporate events.
Right.
And or so anything that sort of...
And the climate is that the business sector is not growing. A lot of companies are downscaling. They're not putting on these big gala dinners, and they're not having these awards shows like they used to.
So that's where your money was.
Right. That's where comedians used to make their cash.
So now there are comedy clubs, obviously... still going. The Goliath Club closed.
The Goliath's closed?
Well, the one at Morrow's Arch.
Oh, but their rent must have been extreme.
Well, it's not that. I think it was a number of reasons. They actually were bought out by another shareholder, so they never owned that club.
Oh,
they
right.
were operating it as a door-taking comedian club, whereas the owner was getting the food and beverage. Now, you know from a restaurant, that's the only way to make money.
Yeah, because that's where you've got consistent income as well. I mean, you could have 20 people in a night, or you could have 400 people in a night.
Plus, with the comedy thing, you often have one table. So the whole way of making money in a restaurant is to turn tables. So if you can turn the table five times in the night, you're making cash. Comedy, table is 10, lime and soda for all five of them.
Well, especially if they're an Indian family.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so you're not making big cash. But I think that's an option for comedians that shut down now.
Didn't have to go down that road.
I just talked over it.
Oh, please. I have no.
But it's
right. No, let me just go back and clarify. I have friends who've run restaurants in Durban. Some of them are Indian. And when they see a big group of Indians sit down.
Oh, no.
They know that that's going to, first of all, they're going to be at that table for a long time. And second of all, they're not going to spend any money.
So don't let the big numbers fool you.
Exactly.
Oh, shame.
No. So there was an option for comedians that's closed. There was a club that was working that would work Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Right.
So that's gone. But they moved to Melville, not the safest area, and I don't really dig it myself. Yeah,
I think horrible.
Two comedians already been mugged.
Wait, really?
And comedians, what would you steal, you know?
Exactly. I think it's the lowest. How dare you?
I thought maybe
first,
there was...
Shouldn't you... Isn't it mime? Then
mimes
then,
are the worst.
Yeah, then drama students, then comedians. You know what I mean?
Yeah, drama students.
Mug a mime, at least it's interesting.
Right.
I thought they were going for the cool factor.
It's hard to get in.
I thought they were going for the cool factor
in
by
Melville.
Going to Melville. Yeah,
I find Melville safe.
Is it cool? I think Melville's terrible.
It used to be maybe in 1974 when Cat's Pajamas was there, the first 24-hour restaurant that you could puke in.
I got it when, and Roxy's, do you remember?
Yes.
That was when it was like interesting, but I don't think Melville's cool now.
Uh-uh.
Melville's...
But anyway, that's where your options are, so...
Nah, Melville's for the poor.
How are you finding work?
I'm finding it good.
On the,
I'm actually loving it.
But are you on a speaker circuit as well yourself?
Not so much, no.
IT generator?
No. Most of the talks that I do are to kind of... conscientize people about podcasting and to tell them what we're doing. So I don't get paid for those. I do them because I want to talk about our business. But the business is going well, so I'm happy about that. But yeah, this whole comedian thing, there was a bit of an overflow. Like there were too many people. I was meeting people who I knew weren't really talented or funny or clever.
And they said they were a comedian.
And they were telling me they were comedians.
But then it comes back to what defines that thing. Because
yeah.
I also felt it. I looked at someone and I'd sit there and it wasn't a... I'm better than you kind of thing. It just said, I think you're being a comedian because it's cool to say so at the moment.
Yeah, it's like when people used to say they were a DJ. Do you remember there was that stage where everybody was, anyone under the age of 25 in South Africa was a DJ in their spare time? I was like, well, that's not, that's like saying I am, I have two arms and two legs.
You could get a mixer at Cash Converters.
Anyone can DJ. And I can promise you now, like DJs, there was a stage where they were superstars. You had these big DJs like, I mean, there's still a few of them that are a big deal, like, you know, Garrix or...
For those, you know, big stadiums, yeah.
Yeah,
or Black Coffee or something.
Right, Black Coffee's a big deal.
Diplo and an ad.
But when you go see them, they put on a show.
But those guys are proper entertainers, right? The average DJ who plays in a club, he's basically just smashing two songs together and he thinks he's Einstein.
But I also think you see a lot of this where the barrier to entry is very low. When someone calls themselves a comedian, there's no bar exam that you need to pass.
That's the exact conversation I was talking
about. There's no great equipment that you need.
Kurt Schoonrod and Jason Goliath. Those are two big players. Kurt's got his own club in Cape Town.
Yes.
Jason's moving towards owning their own club instead of renting a spot and doing it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he just said straight up, he said, what industry? So I said, what do you mean? He said, there's no industry. There's no comedy industry. Because an industry would have laws to get into. How are you a comedian? Have you done your open mic? Have you paid your dues? Have you done this bar? Have you done this restaurant? Yep. So then you go, okay. Now you paid. So there was a low barrier to entry,
but it's
destroyed the industry.
Like, I always used to think comedians were among the cleverest people in our society. And there are comedians who are clever, right? They're brilliant people, and they're the ones that I like talking to.
I want a quiz on Mix FM.
You see? But you have to have a general knowledge, right? No, this is important, right?
I'm proud.
Now, I know we brought you here to talk shit, but let's just get into this for a second. Where else are we going to talk about?
It's also a bit of a myth, the clever comedian.
No, because comedians observe society, and they take stuff that we're all kind of maybe aware of, and they tell us, here's how it is. And we see it, and then when we hear what the world really is, we laugh. Because we think,
probably, wow, because
that's
we're so ingrained in the thing that we are doing. So the comedian's there to see the feelers on everything.
Yeah.
You just don't have the time. You've got to get to work, do the thing. I always said, if you want to destroy an activist's life, take them to a job. Like, go work for Discovery for a week.
No, of course.
And you'll stop worrying about the earth, and you'll stop worrying about the whales, and you'll just be like, coffee break.
Let's be honest. Activists, it's become like a badge of honor for some people, but activists are just unemployed people who are passionate about something.
And you can kill that by having them work at the bank.
Exactly.
And they do. I mean, that's the
way you do it. Put them in a cubicle. Mm. Yeah, that'll kill them. But anyway, back to comedians. So comedians, I always thought were like the cleverest people, right? And I've always admired comedians for that reason. But the average comedian, and we have a lot of them in and out of here, you know that. Some of them come in and we record series with them. Some of them I've done interviews with over the years. I've stopped most of those, by the way. Because it's just, like once you've spoken to some D-list celebrity about their fucking life story, you know, I suddenly realized no one's actually that interested in everybody's story. Like, there are great stories out there, but not all of these people have a great story. Some of them are very boring people, and they've had very boring lives. Like, they may have interesting parents, or they may have interesting relatives.
To fill an hour.
No, there isn't. And
how's your life been?
And I won't do it. I'll cut the show short if I have to. And I only want to interview people who I know really have something interesting to say. Either they've got great ideas, or they're very entertaining, or they've got an amazing story. And you were saying that the corporate gigs have gone down, but that's because speakers have gone up, right?
So there's a need for that intellectual gap to be filled.
Yeah. So they, Gugu, nice of you to join us. It's always good when you walk in at board.
I did see. I got a mail and it said,
"Hey, Gugu."
And I'm like, "Yeah, okay. Gugu's here."
No, this is Gugu. He's over there in the production.
How's it? Are you?
Very good. There we go. So now you've all got acquainted. This is
Gugu's
great.
One of our...
Just to say that, are people sad that Ben's not here? I'm not.
No, Ben's sick.
Oh, you aren't.
Ben is sick as hell today.
Do you remember Ben lying on this couch after he tried the edibles?
Oh, my God.
You remember
that?
That's my vision in my head.
Jesus.
No. I've never seen a man dissolve so quickly.
We have all just consciously tried to scratch.
You were okay that day.
I was trying to be okay.
No,
you know, your eyes were massive, and you just sat there just believing everything that I told you.
That sounds right.
Dave, what are you doing? Sure, we're going to talk about a lot of comedians are buying helicopters now.
Really?
Ben just laid on the couch and just put his hand up like this. In other words, he said, Dave, please don't even start.
Just shut up.
Just put his hand up like this.
I lasted for a little under an hour, and then I absolutely crashed.
That was hilarious.
That was one edibles. Of...
You were smart enough to go, listen, I'll have a puff or something and see what the legalities are.
No, I had edibles. I can't stand the smoke of the smell of that smoke. So I did, and it screwed me up immediately. Anyway, look, the point is...
Clever people are ruling the world.
Yes. We did it, hey. We had fun.
Your stupid comedians are out there, and it may be what you're saying is a phase. That when I sit in a room and I think about my 20 comedians that I appreciated back as a kid, George Carlin, Dennis Miller, those were big-worded comedians. I actually go and look up some of the words that they were talking about. If they spoke about milfification or whatever it was. That was a smart comedian. So now you go, that's what I grew up on. But these guys are going aware and the crowd are going mad.
Mm. Yeah, you see, that doesn't impress me. Those people are like praise singers. They come up and they just make a huge big noise.
So is that an evangelical comedian?
It is, because that's the same thing church does. People go to feel a certain way. They're not really processing the content. I mean, if you ask the average person upon leaving church what verse or part of the Bible and what the lesson was, they'll say, no, I felt really good, or it lifted me up, or it inspired me, whatever. But they don't actually listen to the content. They can't tell you what Ezekiel's daughter's name was or whether the angel came from the east or the north. They're not really listening.
In fact, let's send Ben to a church and just see if your theory's right.
Wow. That would be a bad idea.
With his helmet on.
You know what? Even in the throes of his bronchitis.
Is that what he's got?
Yeah, it's really bad.
Would have made him
I don't
less,
think he'll
sort
seek
less,
salvation in the church.
I like a bronchial voice. It's nice and sexy.
It's nice, huh?
Sort of
you like that?
High-pitched Ben voice. He would have sounded
Ben's
manly.
On the line right now. Ben, go ahead. Yes, Ben.
And that's the choking episode from the sex talk. That's
that's great.
Is that still on?
Is that one of the things you miss about Cliff Central?
Just choking.
The sex.
And spending time here
talk.
With Jonty every week.
I think you guys had a certain rapport.
Jonty and I.
Yes.
Yeah, or we, as we call us.
Well, we kind of put all the reprobates on a Friday. So
did
we
you?
Had,
that was the plan.
Yeah, that was the plan.
I can just see you guys having a management meeting going, put it on the Friday.
Nah, it sort of just happened. You know, you magnetically were attracted to each other. So it was you and Casper and the sex show.
Hey, that was a crazy day. I think people who started listening in the morning went, what the hell is this? By 3 o'clock, they're like, I've wasted my entire day.
No, you just got exposed to a different crop of people.
Jonty's very knowledgeable in worldly humans.
He knows a lot about sex.
He's done so much stuff. You'll go, oh, I went here. He goes, oh, yes, I used to run a thing. I used to do a thing there.
Wow.
No one does that. But I had some fans, and they were quite upset that we left. The one lady in Holland or something said, when are you guys going to come back? I miss your banter. Yeah. I said, wow, that's reducing our shit-talking to an actual word.
But it makes it sound very classy,
Eric
doesn't it?
Eric became famous after
he
left.
No, he didn't. He was famous. Yeah, I saw
South Africa, Seven Dollar and You magazine, that's when you've made it. For whatever reason.
In this country, yeah. I agree. That's when you know.
If you phone you and say, we're coming to your wedding, you're like, oh, mom, hey, look, Ma, I made it.
Yeah, I've...
I didn't know that standard was still there.
Well, I don't have Bona.
Oh, Bona, you, Ace Genoot.
Yeah, they're all the same, right? They're in the same stable?
Once you're there.
Was it
all
drum?
Media 24?
It's not drum. It's
drum's
drum.
Out. It's drum. Drum's done.
Is drum finished?
I'm in the printing world on my design side.
Tell me about that.
It's hard to do print because people are, and yet it's still the most accessible. There's no download time. I don't need Wi-Fi. I just turn the page and I go.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much your enemy is the data to sell.
Right. So if you're in print, you just hate data.
So the advertisers are going, yeah, but who's reading it? She said, it's fine. We leave it at the airport. And I don't know how many people read it. 20,000 people, 40,000. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. But
I went into a bookstore the
it's
other
hard.
Day.
These because magazines are struggling.
The only place to go is to find these things is at the airport usually. I walked into the, I think it was Exclusive Books, or it could have been the little CNA or whatever, or Tambo.
Mm-hmm.
And they still got as many magazines as there ever were. They're all still there. Somehow these things are still
and
in business.
And when was the bell was tolling somehow. 20 years ago, as soon as internet arrived?
Look, it's all these niche publications you've got.
That's the word.
You know, Architectural Digest.
But only for round-shaped windows. That's the magazine.
That's the one,
so it's properly targeted in. There's no magazine that's like very, now, like Fair Lady would be, hey, we're going to Japan, and here's some shoes, and here's some makeup. No. It's either a makeup magazine. Yeah. That's it. So the magazine that we do is obviously for craft beer, but it's so hard to get people to go, oh, but I'm not interested in it.
How's the beer stuff going? Because you used to make your own beers.
That's the same thing that's happened in the craft beers happened to the comedians. I think people are sick of it. They're going
really,
like,
it's too
really?
Much,
I can just go to the fridge and I can get whatever beer I want. Relax. Calm yourselves. Because a lot of the beer makers thought they were wizards.
Because, you know, Ben is trying out. He's doing a different craft beer every week. And he's
I do different craft beer every hour.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. So then he's doing new beers resolution.
No, yeah, I interviewed him in the mag. It was quite interesting. Because he said I didn't let him finish. I said, yeah, but you're droning.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
That sounds like a great hint. You guys just
he does
got
too
it
much. He's the proper millennial entrepreneur, and yet he isn't a millennial, or is he? He's got a finger in every pie, so he's trying everything, and he's getting really good at some of the stuff.
Yeah, mm. Ben, listen, have you seen his videos that he makes?
The first ones he made were terrible. They were cut badly. There was a weird thing. He didn't get his stuff right. And so all of a sudden, he's, what would you call it, like a plateau.
Trajectory.
Then he just went up like this. He realized, let's do this. And he got it right. And now he's actually being paid to do the stuff.
Right.
Mm. I suppose he's here, and he's interested in sports, and he's interested in things. It's all tied in. And then the beer thing, he said, well, let me try this thing. Let me see what the big deal is, and try taste 40 beers in a month or whatever, in a week, a day, a year. And then he rates them. And it's become quite an interesting little rating system. Because it's not based on those professional scientists that are out there trying to be all scientific about their beer. He just says, this
I don't know what where you're buying your beers.
No, he was saying, these craft guys, they think they're doctors. So they'll come and say, there's a 9.8% phenyl activity within the enzyme structure. And you're like, buddy, no. That's why people don't like you. That's why people don't like you.
I just zoned out. I just saw this comment. Someone said, morning team, you guys talking about Jason Goliath and Aware, and the crowd goes mad. I've seen his shows a few times. It seems he's like only telling dad jokes about being fat, and he is being repetitive.
This is never meant to be a Jason bashing.
No, of course
thing.
Not. No. We like,
but
we
he's
like Jason,
feeds his market. Look how clever he is.
Good morning, Garrett, C, and Dave. On my timeline, it's going down. If not the Renegade Report and Pumzile's tour, it's the SABC apparently suspending Fresh. Never a dull moment in SA, Mfundo.
Yeah, well, I woke up a little Sunnery. Early today, and I was in bed on my phone, and I saw this whole Pumzile Fundum thing.
So what did she
from
do?
From yesterday.
What did she do?
She was at the V&A Waterfront. And according to her, she was confronted by a family, a white family, who was racist to her.
Well, out and of the blue, they just walked up to her and decided she was going to be the victim of their eye.
I don't know. There was some sort of exchange.
Okay.
And she took photos of them. And then more so, she was disappointed by the manager of the V&A Waterfront, because she was saying that the manager didn't deal with the situation accordingly. Saying
is there a manager of the whole waterfront? That is so much pressure.
But hang on.
Lo and behold.
So let me understand how it happens. She is just walking around the V&A Waterfront.
Well, there's probably some context to it.
This is what I want to understand. Because nobody just walks up to another person and like starts swearing at them. Especially, I wouldn't know Pumzile Vandam if she walked past me in a supermarket. So it's not like she's a famous person. She's a DAMP.
So it would have happened in a queue, a sort of close quarters, bumping kind of environment.
They must have been in very close and uncomfortable proximity. Mm-hmm. There must have been something going on. Someone must have said something. Now, if it was some arbitrary white family, which, I mean, I hate the way that we have to categorize people like this, because it clearly means that that's where we're
still
headed.
There.
Right, yeah. That's Favut's greatest dream, is that we still talk like this. He's lying in his grave going, I've won. I've fucking won.
My
that's
grandson's
what he's doing.
In parliament.
Right, and he's busy laughing. Look at what I got. I got these stupid whites and blacks to keep calling and thinking of each other as white and black. It's beautiful. Look at how I won. And we're all going, we've defeated apartheid, but we didn't. Look at him. He won.
That's what the management was saying. Can we sort this out of the public's eye?
Can
we move it to there? And she said, no, sort it out now.
In her words.
They are there, take him out to jail.
Let me hear from Sia's actually going through her tweets.
Yeah, I was trying to find the original one. In her words, her first tweet was, management of V&A Waterfront, if you're going to allow racism and racists on your premises, please announce it to all. I'll not stand for anyone's racism towards me or anyone. And don't send me some PR cliched response either. We want action.
She's a bit of a one-trick pony, this Pumzile Vandam, though.
What do you mean by that?
She's kind of run out of ammo. Like, I don't know what her thing is, because she's been the one in the DA who's been making the most noise about black and white. It's her thing, right? This is this is how she sees the DA transforming itself, is that it becomes almost like an ANC, where the focus is usually on racial matters. And she's trying really hard to make, obviously to make it look like the DA is transforming into what she would call, I'm sure, a black party, which is fine. But it seems that she's now going into the public and finding reasons to get upset. I'm not saying this didn't happen and she wasn't a victim here, right? But as what I read in those tweets is it seems like she hit somebody in the face. She punched someone.
She says that she ended up having to hit the son in the family because the son had walked up to her and said something along the lines of, well, and you're black, and she felt like she had to protect herself with a punch.
Okay, but...
Oh, so there was actual punch thrown.
But nobody, she punched nobody the son in the head.
But nobody had hurt her in any physical way. It had only been words.
Not to my understanding, okay, yeah.
No. You know, the old rule is... If you're going to call it self-defense, you have to actually strike after someone has struck you.
There's got to be a chain of events.
I've got to have a knife or a gun, or I've got to be coming in for a punch, and then you punch me first. Then it's self-defense.
And people want to punch you. That's you know, you're speaking from experience.
Well, I've never been in a fight.
Me neither.
I've never been in a fight. You've never been in a fight,
Dave.
I can't believe
something
with
I'm
your
proud
mouth.
Of.
With your mouth.
I think it's got me out of more than in. Same as
no
you.
No way.
You know what I mean? I'll teach that to my kid as well. There's always a way. There's no need.
I don't care. I'd rather be called a coward.
I can smell testosterone in a nightclub, and I leave. I can smell it. I tell you that.
Really?
It oozes out of you just know on the Easter end.
And you know that there are dangerous people, and you can spot them from a mile away.
I was in a situation like this. My friend and I went to Loftus, watched the rugby. This is about 4 years ago.
That's a dangerous
place.
We went
into Pretoria, so we're the only two white oaks there. So we're standing in Chicken Licken. We're like trying to blend in there, make it happy. And the lady at the tools, there's two of them. So as the tools come up and you move forward, and I move forward to my tool in front of me, and a lady said next to us, why are you serving the white people first? And my buddy just said, Dave, we got to go. And I said, thank you. And I said to her, no, man, come. Stay here.
Won't
cool.
you look at the
so
time.
So you confuse the situation. You don't go, well, yes. First of all, you're in downtown Pretoria. You just watched rugby. You had a few beers. I just said, no, man, come stand here. It's cool. We're all happy. And I, you could see there was a tension, not even from anyone else except for her. She was just like, no, why are you serving them first? And even the lady at Tull said, well, that's how the Tull works. You're next, and the next person's next. I just said,
this person's obviously
be cool.
never
so
been
that's,
in a queue.
There is a way to stop a fight from happening. Even if the guy said, why are you saying it? Because you're black. She could have gone, well, yes, I am. And I'm with it. Did you vote for the DA? Because we also make something out of it. Be the promoted, like, do some PR. Get that guy to not vote for the VF next year.
Oh, well.
Because guess what? He is.
All right, here's a couple of things. Let's just go for here a few messages now. I don't know when these came through, like the 19th of March. And obviously, I've been ignoring this person, but here they are. Let me get them on here now.
Whoopsie.
It's Olani who says, should I go back to the March ones, or is that going to be out of context?
Well, if it makes sense.
Doesn't really.
You see, that's the problem.
Is it a remnant of the Now Comedy Podcast?
Sometimes there's punctuation that's missing, and we have to,
Okay, but this person says, I'm a hypocrite calling out the egg boy instead of the Australian senator who actually made racist remarks about Muslims. Very appalling. Okay. So, I remember that. There was that guy who was egged, and I said that it's... Again, this could be related to this Pumzile incident, actually, because... It seems to me these days that some people, just by the virtue of their words, deserve violence, according to others. Now, I've never espoused that point of view, and I never will. I think it's outrageous, and it's primitive, and it's stupid for people to launch eggs at each other's heads, to punch each other, to take to violence.
Act of aggression, straight up.
Like, Dave is a comedian. He stands up. He's bound to say something offensive to everybody at some point, right?
I like that.
He tries to be funny because he is funny naturally. 99% of his stuff lands beautifully. But 1% may piss you off. And you don't have the right to walk up onto the stage when Dave's doing comedy and fucking hit him. What kind of stupid shit is that?
I don't get how
you have the right.
It opens a gate for all kinds of things.
You have the right to leave. You know what this talks to me about? This is all about parents who didn't raise kids properly. I hate to harp on Ben's favorite topic. But if your parents told you that everyone in the world is going to say things that you approve of, you were raised by idiots. Your parents were morons then. You don't have the right to go and egg some guy because you disagree with him politically.
He's a teenage kid. He's in 15 right.
And or something. And then what the senator did is he defended himself like Pumzile and punched the dude.
Yes. All right. I think he gave him sort of a semi-slap.
Now, you do not
technical.
Have, you do not have the right to take out violence on someone unless they first perpetrate violence against you. It doesn't seem like a very complicated situation, and words are not violence, no matter what those words are.
And if he's doing it for likes on Instagram, that's a whole separate issue.
Well, that egg boy just...
So anyway, we're going back to this because
I didn't read Polanyi's... It just makes you feel as a public person.
Well, look, it makes everybody feel like they can't say what they think. And if you want people to guard what they think, you'll never know what kind of people
they
are.
And there's no growth.
Well, there's no conversation, full stop, because all that's going to happen is people are going to shut up, keep it to themselves, and you're never going to know what's in their head.
And what are your thoughts on that?
To me, that is way more dangerous. Isn't that dangerous? That's where you end up with proper dangerous racists.
And then you're policing thought.
To go and shoot up a school, or they go and start a fucking, what do they call them, tiki torch rally, or one of those things, because they feel so isolated and they're not allowed to express themselves and have an argument. I mean, whatever happened to having an argument?
With a beginning and a middle and an end.
So, he says this morning, Gareth, I thought you were all for freedom of speech, so why are you ranting about what Zinzi tweeted on yesterday's podcast, even advocating for her to be fired from her job, something you always accuse the mob of doing? She is a diplomat in the South African government. She is our representative. If there was ever an opportunity for someone to take responsibility for what they said, it would be as an official elected representative. And this woman was appointed as the ambassador to Denmark, and she's ranting about white people in a country which is full of white people. That's meant to be our friend.
Yeah.
It's just not good. It's stupid. That's what it is. And it is free speech, and I'm not saying she should be shut down. I'm not saying she shouldn't be allowed to express her opinion. Now I know what kind of a person she is. I love that she spoke like that, because I can avoid Zinzi Mandela like the plague now. Dan, I don't have to go near her.
Did you hear about all of this?
I did indeed.
What
did
you think about it?
What you just said is right. Like it's a fish out of water situation. We have PR, 4-hour intensive study of how PR works. Just before you go and become a diplomat would maybe the thing that should be happening.
Clearly no one's given her any training at all. And I mean, you'd think...
It's a bit arrogant to say to someone, listen, before you become an MP, I'd like you to just sit down and just read the rules of PR.
So well, the same goes for Pumzile. Like, you can't hit a member of the public. Remember, you're elected by them.
I mean, just to represent, even if they didn't vote for you.
The irony is that little shit that she hit, and he might have been a little shit, he might have been rude as hell to her.
Yeah.
But the guy that she hit probably voted DA.
If he's in Cape Town.
So technically... He put her in a position in some way.
35-year-old white male.
Yeah, it's likely to have voted DA. Guaranteed. In Cape Town. Anyway, the point is, Polanyi, I don't know how you are mixing these two things up. You obviously aren't very intelligent either.
So freedom of speech would still be there.
Free speech is free speech.
She's allowed to,
I'm never going to stop anyone from saying... I don't have a hope in hell of stopping someone from saying something.
But now we can't get any more Danish... cakes, whatever those things are called.
Is that your priority?
Sanctions come quickly, and those
that's your worry. I don't think the Danes are going to do anything. I think they realize, like,
there's the Danish cartoonist that
she had
in trouble.
Listen, Zinzi had a meltdown. Okay, whatever's happened in her life, we don't know the details. She's gone AWOL, by the way. They can't find her.
Yeah, now
she's run away from the embassy. She's like lost.
I know.
Yesterday she.
And that's the best thing about being a diplomat, is being not lost. You can
yesterday
park
she sort of confirmed all of this by saying Zithandwa Zam, which means my loves. I'm back from my trip and we'll take a stroll down Twitter streets tomorrow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. With hearts. And then she says, hashtag our land.
Guess who got hold of her? The PR lady. Said, can you just tweet this, please?
No, this is not a smart way to respond.
I don't think anyone in international affairs even knows how to deal
emoji.
With it. No, because she's Zinzi Mandela. She's more important than them. So they don't know how to approach this because we live in a hierarchical society.
So who's going to take her side? Who's
no
got
one.
The guts?
Because not even Cyril doesn't. So you think Cyril's going to call her up and go, hey, sis Zins, honey, if you could just be a little more diplomatic because that's your fucking job, that would be great. You know? But no one's going to have the balls to do that.
And now we don't get any more Danishes.
Once again, going back to...
They're not
to,
great. It's an apple sort of
no,
based raisin.
It's worse than that because anything... Like, it's not about the Danes even. Because if Nelson Mandela's daughter is such a an obvious racist and hates white people as much as she clearly does by those tweets. And the, by the way, her timeline is jam-packed with stuff.
Yeah,
you can
go
in
previous,
there.
A year ago.
No, no, no. This is during this drunken or meltdown rant or whatever the hell it was. Go and take a look at any of it. Take any of them in or out of context. You're going to end up with loads of material there to figure out pretty succinctly. And I'd love anybody to try and explain to me how she's not someone who hates white people. Like, if that was a black guy, a white guy like Adam Katsavelos, we would all know how to deal with it. We'd all say this is a terrible person.
Yes.
They've got bad ideas. They need to be spoken to. They need to be educated. They need to stop being
adjusted.
Ignorant. Well, they don't need to be brainwashed, but we need to sit down with them and say, hey, listen, you're just not doing yourself any favors here. You're not making friends. You're making enemies. And Zinzi's done the same thing. But at least we know what we're dealing with, right, Olani? At least we know. So I'm not saying
never,
she
ever
should,
was a freedom of speech issue.
No, and I'm not saying she should shut up. I'm delighted that she went on her.
It's almost sad that she's gone missing because you could have carried on the conversation.
Right.
Because I call this conversation station. It's not talk radio. Because those ones, when you listen to them, they talk at you. It's almost like a headmaster shouting at you for an hour.
It's like there's a weird thing happening here too, and we'll get to the news in a second.
Conversation stopped.
By the way, Dave has got some sport for us. He actually said he'd stand in for Ben.
I do want some sports that you've never heard of.
So here's just one last observation. I think because the ANC have been such a spectacular failure, and particularly the Jacob Zuma administration has been such a failure, it's made people feel hopeless. And this is, now I'm digging deep into why psychologically we're in the place we're in.
Okay.
And why we're going back to like puerile, primitive racist ideas where whites hate blacks and blacks hate whites. This happens when a country's not doing well, when a government is in failure mode, when there is no money to go around, when there are no jobs to go around, when people are mentally ill and they've been raised badly. This is what happens, is that people turn on each other because they feel victimized. So what do? They victimize. It's the same reason that people abuse inside families. So what's happening here is that you've got people creating and projecting their anger and their frustration onto each other because nothing's getting better for them. Even people in tremendously privileged positions like Zinzi Mandela said it yesterday. There couldn't be a more privileged person in the history of the world than her. She only has that job because of who her father was and her mother. That's it.
No,
she's not qualified.
She doesn't speak diplomat of something.
Does she speak Danish? I fucking doubt it.
Mm-mm.
Right? So she's got this job because she's Zinzi Mandela. So for no other reason. She's not necessarily good at anything or bad at anything. There's no specific talent that she has.
Mm-hmm.
She's not doing amazing trade deals for us with Denmark. None of that stuff. And you have to have some skills to be a diplomat. But she didn't. She got the job because she's Zinzi. And you know what? This is what happens. If you don't have meritocracy, you have people who become touchy and feely about the fact that they are in a position at a certain time and place, that they own that that's theirs, that's their birthright, that they somehow deserve to be treated a certain way. And they lash out when they have a meltdown. That's what's happened here. What she needs is hugs. She needs a therapist 4 times a week, I would say.
Well, if it was just Zinzi Mandela with no power or no influence, it also would be a very singular case to deal with.
Sure.
What do we then
citizen.
Do in this case when someone has impact on many people?
You realize she represents our country.
That's part of the problem.
In a foreign embassy. So
that's part of the problem.
You have to behave a certain way. You can't just be a private citizen when you're doing that stuff. Anyway,
you know, as I always say, geworden hoe dat deed, God haf met dit.
See, you should be our Danish
Excuse
ambassador.
Me? That's what I always say.
Danish.
That's what I always say.
And what does that mean?
Good morning. How are you,
Dave?
What time is the
All
bus?
Right. Let's get into some news.
Dave, teach some phrases.
Dave, join us for the news.
Thank you. I made it through 15 minutes of the show.
The Joburg Metro Police Department on Tuesday said they would monitor the situation at Alex throughout the night and amid threats of another shutdown on Wednesday. The planned demonstration has been carried out under the banner of Total Shutdown Movement, 2 months after residents first demonstrated about illegal structures. Is that what it was about? I thought it was about the fact that people didn't have houses and that they didn't have jobs. Anyway, Herman Mashaba just popped in Remember, they accused him of not showing up when President Cyril Ramaphosa did, and he promised a million houses. He's going to build a million houses on a piece of land the size of a postage stamp. Of course, that's not going to happen, but he got the votes. Because if you promise people everything's going to be great, they go, okay. So nothing's changed for the people of Alex. I don't blame them for being cross. I mean, if you've been to Alex, you'll know.
When last have you been there?
I was there about a year ago.
I'd go through Alex every week to get through to Sandton quicker.
Oh, really? So you drive through there?
It doesn't work. It is terrible to drive through. I've had people from Australian comedians stay with me, and I've sort of gone through. So from Modderfontein, you can cut across, you get straight to Louis Huerta.
Right.
And he's sitting in the car for a bit, and he goes, Dave, I don't feel very safe here.
That's why I brought you here.
But I did. I wanted to show him because what happens is the news over there is like these things are happening, there's voting and there's going to be houses. And I say to him, look around. When do you think that house was built? Mm. When do you think that shack was built? And there's water flowing down the streets. And I said, that's not water. That's sewage. Poo. Yeah. So it was interesting to see. And to have an Australian not speak was great because I find that that accent sounds like a hardy dog being killed.
Geez, look at what you're doing for the country.
Oh no, maybe I'm better diplomat.
Yeah.
No, I turned that Australian comedian into a proper activist. He went, well, we must do something about it. I'm like, yes, well, that's what we voted for, my friend. And that's what's happening. Okay. So I say, you're right. The shutdown is nothing to do with illegal anything. It's about making, because that road is a beautiful road from Sandton to Modderfontein.
It's not a beautiful road.
Well, it should be.
Convenient.
It should be a four-lane, beautiful structure that
carries
you over.
Something's got to happen. Station at Marlborough, you know, if you stand there and you look across the shacks that are on the other side of that,
but something's got to happen.
I feel like those people are hopeless. I feel like they don't have anything.
There's a mall that's been built. So literally the Alex Mall. There's a brand new craft brewery with the Chisanyama type vibe being built there. So there's gentrification.
So more things malls for people to spend no money on.
Yeah. Someone has gone in there. See, the helpers come in the form of, obviously, economic helpers, but there's no one going, so what's going to happen after you build a mall? Yeah. Where are the cars for the petrol to go into the car to park in your massive parking lot?
Where do people live and how do people live? And they Alex is not a great place to live.
And it's not going to be fixed by an economist. It's going to be fixed by a philanthropy sort of fearless.
No, that won't. Anyway, people ever, the free market is the single greatest tool for emancipating people. You've got to give people the right to trade freely, to start their own businesses, get government the hell out of the way, and to let them sell stuff. You know, when I got upset the other day because the Metro Police went and raided all of these informal traders
on the pavements in town. So
I hate that. These guys are trying to make a living.
It's an easy target.
And most of them are honest people who are trying to make an honest living. They're selling this for that price. And if people want to buy it, they buy it. If they don't, they don't. It's voluntary.
So their reason is that it's unsafe because people end up walking in the road instead of on the pavement.
It's a terrible reason because people should walk through the markets. It's what they do all over the world.
Mm. I mean, they've got this in India. It's on the railway. Literally.
It's crazy.
Well, yeah.
All right. Other stories. The Rand improved in late trade on Tuesday after the government signaled it will give additional support to Eskom. And as emerging currencies were lifted by expectations, the Federal Reserve could signal U.S. rate cuts. So Cyril said, we're not going to let Eskom fall to pieces. Well, you can't, because that would absolutely be the death knell of the economy. So clearly when he said that, people went, okay. We'll stay the execution for a few more months.
Those court cases are fantastic when you hear the history of the businesses that the stuff that happened in an office somewhere dictated 20 years ago what we've got now by an executive by a board, because they said we've got another coming online 20 years ago and there'll be competition for Eskom, it'll be really great, and they're like, no, you're mad, we like this, I like my salary,
kill it,
why do I want competition and there's a free market. So 20 years ago, they were like, we've got another Eskom, it's going to be really great. No.
Let's kill it.
Not a chance.
So they destroyed the competition.
1994, things were happening. They're like, there's no way. We'd like to own this, please.
Oh, crazy.
The Democratic Alliance, surprise, surprise, has backed calls for Zindzi Mandela to be recalled, saying her remarks on land reform were divisive. Mandela's comments, which were posted on Twitter last Friday, sparked widespread outrage when she said apartheid apologists' time was over and they would not rule again. Again, I don't want to go down this road, but to just say, Like there's a boogeyman living in Zinzi's head. Like she must, somewhere deep inside, she must believe that white people want to bring back apartheid, which I've yet to meet the white person who wants that. Maybe I'm just hanging around in dumb crowds or treasonous crowds, but I have yet to meet someone who thought that it was genuinely thought, after serious consideration, that their world was better under an oppressive regime. Even for white people, it was oppressive. You couldn't even get naked pictures of women.
And that's the worst type of oppression.
Exactly.
But as Zinzi said, she just said, Jahar de Darlicht.
You're right, exactly.
Which says, I don't feel well, in Danish.
Wow.
Apparently, Joburg Water has warned of 54-hour water cuts due to major Rand water shutdowns. Now, this is a worry. Nico de Jager, who's the MMC for Environment and Infrastructure,
but said not for long.
The shutdown would be on the B11 pipeline to install a butterfly valve from Letabo to Vereniging. He said this would result in limited water supply to all Rand Water customers.
All of us.
He says, please note that this does not necessarily mean there will be no water during the 54 hours. But however, due to the extremely long hours, some of the areas may experience a shortage of water or low pressure.
I tell you what, the B11 has been giving us trouble since they installed it.
I know.
I was very much an advocate of the B2, yes. B3, not the B4.
But that B11.
The B5, the B6, B7 I was okay with.
Yeah.
Even voted for Cornelius de Jager. And I feel he's a nice guy. Well, I know his brother. But and they did so well with the D10 or whatever the hell it's called.
And then it was a B11.
Oh, and the butterfly. Don't even get me started, because I used to be a contractor with John T and I. We used to install a lot of pipes. The butterfly valve is the first thing. Once that goes, I mean, the whole country is straight away.
That's how
the DA is going
to
get in.
We need it
purely based on the butterfly valve. Installation.
All right, finally in the news, Facebook have unveiled plans for a new cryptocurrency that the social media giant hopes will one day trade on a global scale, much like the US dollar. Sure. It's called Libra. The new currency will launch as soon as next year, and what's to be known as a stable coin, which is a digital currency that's supported by established government-backed securities and currencies. The goal is to avoid massive fluctuations in value so Libra can be used every day for transactions in a way that more volatile cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin hasn't been.
So you'll be able to buy stuff on Facebook and know that if you paid $15 for some sneakers, it's still going to be $15 when it gets here.
Correct.
I see.
So that's actually cutting a lot of trade things. That takes up excise duties and all kinds of things.
And by the way, if you're interested in this stuff, we spoke to Sean Sanders yesterday from Revix about how the Bitcoin, Ethereum, and a bunch of other cryptocurrencies are a very good way to hedge yourself against the Rand's ups and downs. Because basically, if you have all your assets in Rands, you're backing the idea that this South African government will make good decisions, which is ridiculous because they haven't yet. So just think about that. Maybe cryptocurrency is better because you don't actually back a government. All right, lots of other good stuff we'll get to in a moment or two. Dave Levinson is hanging out with us this morning, and we have much to talk about.
And the news is brought to you by John's Butterfly Valves.
That's right, the very ones you were talking about just a minute ago. So I mentioned this a second ago in the news. Why are cryptocurrencies a good Rand hedge? Well, they're also a good alternative asset for South African customers' portfolios. You can get answers to these questions and more on the latest episode of Beyond Bitcoin. It's brought to you by Revix. Revix is a revolutionary new cryptocurrency investment platform which is making it safe and easy for South Africans to invest in cryptocurrencies. Stay up to date with all things crypto. You can go to cliffcentral.com on the app or wherever you get your podcasts. Yes.
Okay.
All right. And my other favorite show, which we've got such good feedback on, Let's Start an Argument, which is it's a really cool podcast series. If you haven't heard it, go and take a listen.
Who's in charge of that?
What do you mean?
Is that you?
No.
Who gets to start the argument?
We have very
esteemed Jason Werbeloff and Cecilia. Cecilia, what's her surname?
Cock.
Cecilia Cock.
There's been such an upswing in terms of podcasts. If you look in magazines, so your Women's Health or any of the Fair Ladies, there's a full page of podcasts to listen to.
Yeah.
And they're based on health or based on issues. But it's amazing. So a lot of them are still in the comedy vein. So the one is an incredible mental health podcast where they literally get people on there to talk about the issues and stuff they went through, but it's co-hosted by a comedian. So it gets a lighter lightness to it, where you can actually at the end of it talk about your mental health issues because you have to. And then at the end, the comedian kind of comes in and says, what happened then? Who said this? And it's they are funny. But are they a real
who's
issue,
that,
real
who's
patients?
Who's that Australian woman who just did she did this comedy show that isn't funny at all, but it's all about how she was abused. And people go to her shows and they clap, even though they don't laugh at all. And she calls herself a comedian. Hannah something?
I haven't heard of her.
Anyway,
That's going to happen. The next generation is... the stories being told of the abuse of the previous generation. So people are going to go and watch these plays. I'd love to see, although I suppose you are, the Grahamstown Festival coming up. I don't know if they're going to have any water. Bloody the
B11. Mm-hmm.
There's no water in Grahamstown. I don't know why you'd have a festival there.
Are they doing the Grahamstown
Comedians
Festival?
Comedians are going, but 20 of my friends are going to Grahamstown Festival.
Magazin Pompin.
Is that the real name?
No, they're going to have to wash at the tap. There's going to be one tap that works in town.
Thought you were so well-versed in language, Dave.
Hey,
what happened there?
Listen, yeah, I'll tell you something. Jaul Venstre.
Right back at you.
Yeah, well, it means left and right.
Well, so are we just going to then give you your moment here, Dave? You've been itching to
Sport.
Some sports.
I like the fact that your news is not really done as a sort of... When you listen to a radio station, they'll just tell you the news. So... On Five, we'll have the same as Metro, the same as Highveld. We'll have the same.
Yeah, of course.
Literally. And then they always have the cute story at the end. And a dog turned 100 the other day and had a birthday party.
No, that's coming
and
later.
The cow, you so good. Is it your story? So it's in, and there's no sort of intro. There's no like dun, 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 to let people sort of know that there's a news or when the news has ended.
No, that's coming later with my music.
But just it's nice to let people know, like, stop listening with your news ear and put on your bullshit ear again.
Listen, why do people listen to the news? So that they can go and talk to
something.
Each other. Yeah, they can have
start
something
argument.
To talk about. Let's start an argument. So we've always done the news differently. Even when I was on commercial radio,
which got you into trouble, I suppose.
Of course. Oh. I used to play sound effects during the news.
When I moved from Cape Town to Joburg, my friend said to me, "Dave, you got to listen to this guy. He reminds me of you." So I listened for about 8 seconds and went, "Oh, fuck, that's not me."
Oh. All right.
But he was really getting me into Joburg. He said, "This is how we do things here." So I'd drive to work with him in the morning. So half past 6 in the morning, we'd be listening to, was your 702, was it? When were you on?
Dude,
in the afternoon?
That was ages ago. That was, yeah, I mean.
1991.
Oh, no. Bump 92? It up a bit.
91, I was at school.
Yeah. Is it? So I was listening to you at school.
No,
in a
Dave.
Van with some sweets.
Yeah, that sounds like you, Dave Levinson.
But I was listening to you, Gareth. I knew you before you were famous.
In a van.
You've grown so much.
Can you stop wiping your mouth now?
When were you on? Because the guy said to me,
sorry,
he reminds me
just,
of you.
Someone's just reminded me. Her name is Hannah Gadsby. Okay. That's the comedian you need to look up. She did this show where she goes on stage and she like just breaks down, basically. And the audience will go... Because what else are you going to do? But no one's going to go to the second show.
I think that's awkward.
And also, you'd never want to get up and leave during a show, especially if it's... And then my father...
Fingered me really hard. No, like, really?
You can't get up and leave. Where are you going, sir? I'm going.
Yeah,
no,
that's
I don't
not
hear
what
about
I
your
signed
day.
Up
Listen,
for.
Also,
that's strange.
You've got to remember, most people aren't that interested in your trials and tribulations. They're really not.
You see, I may be a bit of a wuss for something like this, but I came to this realization for myself recently, and I don't feel guilty about it anymore. Life is shitty for all of us in some way, shape, or form, and I'm not. It's not like a shitty comparison Olympics here, but I just realized that life is shitty, and I don't want to consume anything that's shittier. For me, and that's why, like, I don't want to watch depressing series anymore.
Yeah,
I don't want to listen to sad songs. I don't want to get stuck into these tragic conversations anymore. I just don't want to do that.
Yeah,
you know. So, like, everyone's talking about Chernobyl. I can't do it. You know, it's gripping and it's amazing. Good for you if you enjoy it. I'm not going to sit through 45 minutes of now thinking about death.
But some people would say that's a kind of ostrich. Philosophy, where you're sticking your head in the sand and going, well, it didn't happen.
No.
Which is exactly what went wrong with Chernobyl, is that they admitted that it didn't happen for the first 7 weeks.
I love that full circle analogy.
Turn the phone off.
I'm not being oblivious. Okay. And that's why I'm not going to, I'm going to gladly scroll past
two kind of positive things. I'll go and watch a play about someone that turned out okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to go and watch
Hannah's
show. And I'm not saying it didn't happen to her. I'm not saying it's tragic. But geez, Hannah, my life is also shitty. Yeah, I don't want to sit through 2 hours.
We don't all need to be responsible for your problems.
Mm-mm.
I'd love to know who goes to see that. Who's what? Because, yeah, as you say, it's a sellout show.
Apparently, she's done really, really well.
But she's obviously has a storytelling ability and has a way of making it interesting.
Jeez, but how do you, what do you walk away feeling?
But then in the audience, are there other people that were also abused that get a bit of a cathartic vibe, or maybe they fix themselves by leaving going, hang on a minute, you're right, my life isn't so bad.
See, if that was the intention of the talk, I feel like some people just like airing these things now for the sake of airing it out.
Yeah. Hitler was abused. He never spoke about it. So New Zealand comedian Ursula Carlson, which we actually interviewed on our show, she's from Benoni, doing very well in New Zealand and all over the world.
What's her name?
Has a book called Roll with the Punchlines. Ursula. She's born in Benoni, bro.
I'm pretty sure there's like a silent G-H-J.
I have some comedy about silent letters. But Ursula Carlson has now written 3 more chapters of her book based on the fact that people were so open to tell us more. It's almost weird, though, don't you think? It's like a, tell us more about your abuse.
Yeah.
So 3 more chapters based on...
There's a word for that. Prurience.
When you peer into someone's thing and go, well, tell me more. Yeah. So she obviously, not obviously, but she's adopted, her and her wife have adopted a kid. So there's a different laws over there in terms of being a same-sex couple, adopted a kid. So there's more, people want to know more. So 3 more chapters to a best-selling book. That is... It just shows you there's a sense of wanting to know more about these things, and you're the opposite of that. Like, no, life's shit enough.
But nah. I sort of get 3
more chapters.
I mean, you can decide, you can tailor your Twitter feed or your Instagram or whatever else it is to only follow interesting or nice things that you care about.
I think you kind of do that when you've got kids.
And maybe it is like that for a lot of people. Maybe it is putting your head in the sand like an ostrich, but. I understand. Like, people have enough shitty stuff going on. They don't need to look for more.
Well, you've got... Did you get involved in the Good News Guys or something? Was that not your... Was this channel?
Brendan Dickey.
Yes.
But, I mean, for example, I only found out about Zinzi yesterday because we had to talk about the news.
Did you guys cover the guy in the Virgin Active?
Oh, we loved talking about him.
Did Jonty get into it in terms of his psychological...
We had Jonty on.
Because the first thing my mom phoned me said, what is this guy doing in the Virgin Active, Dave? Because she likes to get the comedic side of things. Yeah. I said, Mom, I'm telling you now, if that's a university student, it was a dare of some kind. There's something in the background that's going on. In other words, in the hostels in Stellenbosch, maybe they're going, okay, I bet you this, mate, you can't go and have a wank at the Virgin Active. Then he's doing it because it's that kind of.
You think so?
It still exists. That what we've got is not hazing. But to get into the hostel
initiation.
I'm telling you now, something behind that, because it's obviously a Me Too thing, because people are going, it's violation of my eyes, my privacy. And then the other guys are going, but he didn't touch you, didn't do anything. So this argument starts immediately between the things.
So someone dared him, you reckon?
I reckon someone dared him. And it's also, as you can see, you don't see the tip. Did you zoom in this?
I tried to.
All right, Sia, it is time for you to give us...
He was doing a selfie. Selfies are very popular.
Here's our little positive stuff this morning with said by Sia. Take it away.
See, because I'm happy. See, we have the music, Dave.
Come on.
We'll have
Don't try to impress me. I'm not coming back to the station.
Hey,
don't impress me. I want Ben's pay. Ben, what are you... I'm trying to do it in Ben voice. Ben, what do you get for... That's Derek Watts.
Yeah,
Ben,
I was going to say, that does not sound like Ben.
You know what? No,
at all.
He can just barely afford the petrol on his little Suzuki 50 scooter to get here.
Dave. Okay, let me give
Sports.
You...
Sports!
Yes. Well, before that, let me give you something good to chew on today. So, a couple of days ago, it was World Blood Donor Day. And it got me thinking about a story that I read that was released by the University of British Columbia. Because the researchers there are working and making quite some, and really making some amazing advancements. So you know how we all have blood types, right?
Yes.
And that might stop you from being able to help a sibling, a family member, a friend, being able to donate blood in that way. Well, now scientists have found a way to convert all blood types to the universal type that is safe for all patients to receive.
You think this is good news?
Well, this is well, good this news. Is how it's all,
this is
world.
How humanity ended.
How,
you know that in 50 years' time, they go, when did it all go wrong? Those scientists invented how to do a universal blood group.
How is this a bad thing?
Well, we're going to start drawing blood from lizards, raccoons, ferrets. You know what I mean?
Dave.
Where does it end?
Shut up, Dave.
This is not good.
This
take
is
that
very,
song off.
This is good.
I am not happy.
Did this not make you happy?
Do you know those letters on emojis? So the O, the B, the A, and the O, those are actually blood type emojis. Did
really?
You find that out the other day?
No.
See?
That came through from the thing. It was, by the way, the big O, the B, and the A in a square are blood type emojis.
Really?
So what is your blood type?
O.
O, and you?
I have no idea.
Go and have a check. It's important.
No. So O is universal.
The only thing my mom mocked me about is that I'm an A+. I'm an A. She says it was the only bloody thing you ever got an A+ for.
Oh.
So you can't actually donate to a lot of people.
The weird thing is that to your own family, you can't. So my kid and my mom, but A plus isn't, you don't want a rare blood type. You want one that you can get from anywhere, which is A plus. I'm cool with certain's not. But the rare ones get phone calls, man.
Yeah, like A minus.
The one that
B
can
minus.
Be used for everyone, that one that's the O, I think.
Yeah, O.
Yeah, O is the universe.
They'll phone you because it can be anything.
Mm.
But the nice thing is that plasma can still be drawn from anyone's blood type, which is the one that you need on those operating tables. The juicy white part of your blood.
You surprisingly know a lot about this.
I was a medic in the army.
Really?
You know what they used to stop bleeding in the army if you're being shot?
Mm-hmm.
Tampon.
Huh. Okay.
If you're out there in the field, that you shove that in there and it'll stop the bleeding immediately and get you to somewhere within 20, 30 minutes.
See, I don't know if you're being serious or
they
not.
They call them tampon tiffies. Tampon.
You gotta always keep a tampon on you.
I do, just to.
So, long story short.
You shouldn't have started the story with me.
Yeah, shut up, Dave.
Long story
short. Just shut up and let's see it.
Just wanted to then say kudos to the researchers from the University of British Columbia. They've figured out how to convert blood types A, B, and AB into the universal type O, which all patients can receive in a transfusion regardless of their own blood type. So this is quite awesome, I say. Even though, Dave, well, this is not really making you feel
all
too happy.
Beginning of the end, man. That was full Takalani that you went there. A, B, O, that is your blood. A plus isn't the good one. Da, 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 da.
I haven't even thought of Takalani Sesame in like
almost
decades.
Spelt a whole word there. My theory is that we're sending these people to Mars, and I'm a futurist. I'm full Dion Chang.
Mm-hmm.
That we're sending people to Mars. They're going to make babies. The technology is way ahead of what we've got here because they're sending the best technology. Guess who attacks us in 100 years?
100 years, Mars comes and attacks.
Straight up. That's what Nostradamus has been seeing. He's like, why did Mars attack us? Guess why? We sent the idiots there, made them build
the
best.
No, not the idiots. Kept
the idiots.
Smart ones.
Smart ones. No, you can't go if you doof.
No.
I'd like to go to Mars, please. Yeah, no, thanks. Mars. Away.
Dave Levinson's with us, cliffcentral.com. It's 7 o'clock, Wednesday morning.
This is cliffcentral.com.